Welcome to the Sandpoint City Council meeting of February 14th, 2023. The meeting is called to order at 7:05. Roll call, please, Jade.
Austin?
Here.
Allen?
Here.
Amy?
Here.
Jack?
Here.
Raina?
Here.
Arlene?
Here.
All right, we have a quorum. We'll go on to the first order of business is the approval of agenda. At this time, are there any additions or corrections to the agenda?
The donation request for this underneath the forms, underneath finance.
Or not.
I mean,
you can do it
after the minutes and let them talk. Okay, that'll work.
I could probably get that information.
Okay,
I didn't know how much time we need. Also, is that okay?
Yeah.
Or not.
I don't know.
Can we
move new business up, or do we just
take them out of your business and put them? As long as you all agree to letting them go early, it's not move the two items that don't. But I mean, two and three under a new business up underneath the minutes. Under new business for the donation request for seniors and donation request for the full stuff.
All agreed, I guess.
Roll call,
please.
Yes. Jack.
Yes.
Amy.
Yes.
Arlene.
Yes.
Marisa.
Yes.
Allen.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Else, are there any conflicts of interest on agenda items? None. We entertain a motion to adopt the February 2023 agenda, moving new business items 2 and 3 after consent agenda. We have a motion to adopt the agenda. Amy, a second. Second by Austin. Roll call, please.
Allen?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Marisa?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.
All right. Motion carries. We'll go on to the next item is public comment, an agenda item. Are there any public comments and items at this time?
Before we talk, I'm unfamiliar with.
No.
But you have something about the agenda.
There's a political class. Okay. And they're going to make a question on the agenda.
They'll be right after consent. So. No public comments at this time. We'll go on to the next item, which is the consent agenda. And there's one item, the minutes of the regular meeting of January 6, 2023. Has everyone had a chance to read over the minutes? And any corrections? All right. Entertain a motion to adopt the minutes of January 6, 2023. Motion by Marita. Do we have a second? By Amy. Call, please, Jordan.
Yes. Austin.
Yes.
Allen.
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Jeff? Marita?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. All right, we'll move to the next order of business, which would be new business. Number two, the donation request by seniors. And we'd like to speak for the seniors.
I did read the letter.
Okay. I'm the trip advisor.
Oh, okay.
So I can speak towards their trip as well.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, seniors are going to go to Seattle this year, and there's a number of educational opportunities, museums there, the Seattle Underground Tour, a few last and art museums they're going to check out, and also an opportunity for them to do some recreational and kind of celebration of the end of their high school career type thing. The trip is going to happen at the 7th of April to the 17th, and they're just looking for any donations that the city can give in support.
How much
does
it cost?
We're projecting about $40,000 for the budget, and I think we have $25,000 plus lots of fundraising activities that are happening right now. So we do not anticipate issues getting there, but any and all support is very beneficial at this point.
Thanks, Austin. Normally we would hash this out in our workshop. I'm not sure how we're going to come up with the amount.
$1,000 would be amazing.
Okay. That we
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Alan?
Yeah, am I correct that there are no students there to talk about it tonight and come and see us?
My apologies on this. I got back Saturday later than I was supposed to, and I didn't get time to reach out to invite them. We got the letter, but I didn't make the move to invite them to the council meeting to talk. So the kids may not know that's on the agenda tonight.
Okay. I just think it's important that they do show up and visit with us, so if we have questions we can ask, and they kind of have to work for it a little bit, but okay, I understand.
All right, thanks, Alan. Any other comments? Questions? Or table it?
Let's table it.
Sorry.
Not a problem. It's not emergency or appointment. All right, we'll save. Any comments, Fox?
If
it's out of the council field. I say pick a number. I make a motion to give the senior class $1,000 donation for their senior trip.
Okay.
We have a motion by Amy and a second by Marita. Roll call, please, Jade. For $1,000 to this.
Jack?
Yes, he said. Yeah.
Marita?
Yeah.
Austin?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Amy?
Yeah.
Arlene?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. All right, thank you. we'll move on to the next order of business, would be the donation request for COSA. Have a speaker? Yeah.
So I am the COSA advisor and the junior class advisor for the test 2024, and are asking for a $5,000 solid donation, but anything would help. This is a trip that has kind of been customary, almost a rite of passage from what I understand. 4 years in the past. This is the first time in the 3 years that I've been here that we've really had fundraising going on full-fledged again, which is awesome to see. But the competition and me being very new to this has kind of made it difficult to figure out what is the most lucrative way to raise those donations. So we are roughly around $8,000 short of where we need to be. Raised close to $15,000 so far, and it's about $5,000 a person to spend it. So this is a trip that's educational. It's been kind of a rite of passage. They go to see a museum, the Broadway show in New York. They visit the Capitol building. And it's been quite a bit of work to get there as far as fundraising and doing work outside of school hours. We also have to pass government class in order to be eligible to go to this, which all of them have done up until this point, which senior's class took a year earlier than they normally would have because of kind of the crazy thing we've had with lack of teachers. We're kind of forced to take a class that was a year ahead of their schedule, and they did very well in that. So bestsellers or anything you'd like to add to that?
Thanks, Taylor. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Any comments? Questions?
I guess I would kind of like to know what we've donated in the past. They're taking $5,000 hits. I know where this money's coming from. I didn't look today to see where the balance was at, but I'd like to know. Have we made similar donations before, or less than, or more than, or how does that compare?
Yeah, we figured it's the same. Jordan, go ahead.
Jack, it is the same as in years past, and this money does come from the gaming fund, which is shared. And that, those funds are generated from pull tabs and bingo. It has to be used for community purposes. And that's where the donations previously have come from. And if approved by council at its meeting, it would come from there. And we have excess of $145,000 in the bingo fund. Not all that, of course, is to be given away. A lot of that's operating capital. But you know, we do have a healthy balance in that budget. In that specific account.
Copy that, Jack.
Yeah, okay, thanks. That's about what I figured. I just, you know, I think that when we're giving this money away, we should explain where it's coming from and what we've done before.
All right, thanks, Jack. So, any other comments?
Possible motion?
Yes.
I'm going to make a motion that we give the course of class 2024,
We have a motion by Austin. We have a second.
Second.
By Arlene. Roll call, please, Jade.
Amy?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Marisa?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
All right, motion carries. Okay, we'll go back. Next item. Okay, which would be report. Okay, yeah, we have a couple guests in the audience there. Would you like to make any public comments? Or you should that last. Are you just here to kind of
moving around with them all day? Inside of the CHRC, we have our two candidates who are here for the superintendent fly-in. So
Mrs. Helen Cheek and Mr. Michael Franklin and Joanne Henderson, who is with the Alaska Association for School Boards, and she's been more or less a headhunter and a person that's kind of been orchestrating the whole process for the school district and the search for the superintendent candidate. So I just wanted to invite them up here to see the municipality introduce themselves to them.
All right. Awesome. Like to say something or just?
I mean, how would you like to introduce yourself? Just where you're from, and there are a lot of people here. I don't think I've met you guys yet.
Okay. Well, I didn't think you'd get Michael or I mixed up. So I'm Helen Cheek. I am the superintendent of Iditarod Area School District at present. But I love the opportunity to come down here and try out to be your new superintendent. So I just want to thank you for this opportunity, and I'm getting to fly in today and seeing the sunshine. I brought it with me, just so you know, and I love it. So your schools are beautiful, and I, you know, would love to get out and see the other sites. But thank you all for welcoming us and having such a warm, inviting community. It's been great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Beautiful talk. It's wonderful that you think the school here, and I appreciate your time. My name is Mike Franklin. I currently work as an EMT and firefighter, but as long as that, I was way back in my career.
Thank you. Okay. Another comment? We'll move on. All right. Thank you, guys. Okay. We'll go back to reports then. And the first report is the finance. But I'm not, Curtis, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Go ahead, Curtis.
Okay. Good evening. In December, we received $2,762.41 for raw fish tax and $79,385.83 for sales tax.
Okay. Thank you, Curtis. Any questions or comments? Armin?
I just had a comment regarding the raw fish tax revenue section. I was looking at the numbers that we have here on the report and compared it to the revenues that's on the financial report, and they didn't quite match up. So I was wondering if there was a section that we needed in the raw fish tax revenue.
Can you say that again? I didn't hear you.
Okay, I was looking at the raw fish tax revenue section of the or the report that you provided for us, FY18 to FY23.
Okay.
And the amount here was about $177,000. But when I went and looked at the revenue section on the revenues that you provided, report that you provided, and it's $247,000.
On where?
Revenue guide, yes. It's the revenue guideline.
Which page are you on?
Sure.
It's page one, Curtis, of the revenue guideline, all code page for December, and line item R01-213. Raw fish tax, it's probably 7 or 8 line items down, and it gives the budget for dates.
What was the question? That's off?
Yeah, it says 247,585 on that guideline, but then on the
I'm doing December's right now, but that line is including January's because we received those funds.
Okay. Which is on the top of the report, but includes January.
Yes.
You're saying that the revenue
so
guideline...
Go ahead.
You're saying that the revenue guideline, the current period says December 22 to 23, includes the January revenues that we've received.
I believe so, and I can look this up tomorrow if you want to talk about it.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, thanks, Curtis. Thanks, Darlene. Any other questions for Curtis? I hear none. All right, thank you, Curtis. Move on to the next report, which is the administrator's report. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, the council, staff, visitors. A couple things to add to the report. I finished the preliminary draft for the Harbor Bridge, and the footbridge grant application has sent them off to the AML contracted grant writers. We'll cover that a little bit later in the packet more in depth. Submitted written testimony on behalf of the city to the Board of Fish for their upcoming meeting, and I will be there in person Monday and Tuesday. Just FYI, the latest set for oral testimony is Tuesday at 10 a.m. It has to be done in person. You can't just do it online. I've been in contact with our lobbyists down in Juneau about the upcoming session. If there's any major developments may have an impact on the city, be it operational, regulatory, or budgetary issues. I just sent him a copy of our CASIS request, which was for a new incinerator or burn unit. So we call it incinerator from now on. And then also I did send him a copy. He's aware of our STP and CTP applications. So again, we'll cover that. I did meet with a grant writer that came recommended by multiple people independently of each other about what's out there right now, what would be applicable to the city's needs. You know, there's a whole lot of funding out there, but you know, if it's for like a hospital or a library, nothing is library, it's just not, you know, a city need or electrical vehicle chargers. That's not what we're looking for. So the latest opportunity is the Denali Grant Commission, the grant that came out, I want to say February 3rd, it's supposed to be on the 31st, but close enough for government. So it's Denali Commission historically had not been funded after the demise of our late Senator Stevens, but it has been received injection of funding the past 2 years. So they've had a historic focus on health facilities, clinics, bulk fuel farms, barge landings for, freight, community infrastructure, roads, boardwalks, that sort of thing, sanitation, so that can be, form of solid waste. Or, water treatment, wastewater treatment is a big one they've focused on. So, if we do go ahead and engage with the grant administrator, they do charge money. I have spoken with her about this after we both saw the specifics. So, there's a notice that came out that was very generic, one page sort of notice. And then they came out with the specifics, the program specifics, X dollars towards health, X towards sanitation, X towards, bulk fuel, X towards telecom projects. So you can apply for different categories depending on your project. So their stance is that if they believe internally that there's not at least a 50-50 chance of getting funds for a project, they won't take the grant on because that lowers their score rate. So that makes sense. So if, and then also with the Valley Commission, there's two types of communities. There's non-distressed and distressed. Under the Valley Commission funding criteria, we are a non-distressed community. So that means any funding we get from the Denali Commission would require a 50% local match. They're not picky where the local match comes from. It just can't be other federal funds. Ideally, we would get a higher percent match, but the distressed communities are places that have challenges, frankly. So don't face challenges some communities do. So. It's great. So if council agrees, you can contact person tomorrow. Your email sets the time to talk Thursday or Friday in person. We've like spoken over the phone. Expect those people. There's that. CAPSIS was due at 5 p.m. today. I submitted it. I also sent a copy of the mention to our lobbyists. It has pictures and a price spec sheet on it. So there's justification for the numbers. There's no guarantee the state will fund that as part of the capital budget. They didn't have one. They didn't fund CAPSIS request last year during the election year. The Senate would say that's untouched by votes.
owner of real estate. So there's no guarantee they fund it this year, but it has to be in, regardless of, you know, how they move forward or not. So a lot of times the Harvard PC issue, which we spoke about earlier, but we'll go back over that again. Worked with Curtis and Irina to get boatload of information and old files and just documentation for the audit. I believe we've sent them pretty much everything. Haven't heard back from them lately. Moving on that, worked with Curtis to get a closeout for the 2018 COD disaster funding. It was about $11,200. Double check the exact amount. It's on a reimbursable basis. We spent the money, so we sent them the receipts and the grant paperwork, and it's the process. Recently, Senator Murkowski's office announced they're accepting earmark applications. So the funding goes from it's directed funding, so that the money doesn't go to the community directly. It goes through Department of Agriculture or Department of Interior, and then from there, from Interior to BLM, for instance, then from BLM to the community. So it's not directly a check from the senator's office. So, we touched on that earlier, so I'll double check on the requirements, but, you know, a grader and a rear loading trash truck. So do that. I'll be going through working with department heads to go over some bills, most notably phone lines. We've identified phone lines that are no longer needed. We don't fax anything, so we can probably get rid of those lines. Then I did get my jury duty. I was able to get it pushed back to the end of the month, so the week of the 27th. I don't know what's going to happen with that, but that would be after Board of Fish. So that, and that, I just wanted to update. The Denali Commission grants due the 14th of April, and the earmark application is due the 10th of March. That's before the next meeting, which is March 14th. Up on that. That's what I have, and, you know, we go over the CTP and some other related items further on in the packet.
All right. Thank you, Jordan. Any questions or comments for Jordan?
I know we have our lobbyist that does a lot of work for the CAFSIS. In the past, and I've worked on the CAFSIS project, working with the you know, Edmund and Hoffman's offices makes a big difference because they'll kind of quarterback it for you. Is there anything that we can be doing to advocate or, you know, assist in the lobbying process?
Yep. I can follow up with their staff tomorrow, let them know, kind of drop an extra line. But, you know, we're not just, you know, shotgunning the applications in. This is talk about the history, the demand, and if you're having the pictures, you know, visuals, pretty striking. So thank you. Thank you for giving the pictures, Seth.
All right. Thank you, Kelly.
The board state notice of that, yes. What have you on the board?
For which?
CAFSIS.
So the state, by law, has to have their budget approved by July 1. So it would be before.
Thanks, Kelly.
But then Denali Commission wouldn't be until later this summer.
Thanks, Jordan. Any other questions or comments for Jordan?
I haven't heard much. How are the coffers looking for capital projects this year? What's looking?
Yes, but it really hasn't been that much. Not a lightning rod of interest for now.
Thanks, Jordan. Okay. Questions, comments? We'll move on to the next report, which is Department of Public Safety with Police Chief Dave Anderson.
Good evening, everybody. Police activity for the month of January, we had 32 calls to 911. We generated 29 reports, some self-initiated. A lot more still due to report. We had one person that was in jail. Report from our investigator in answer to the narcotics enforcement team there. During the month of January, we had 42 new cases that were generated, two canine deployments, and a seizure of 4.76 pounds of cocaine, 0.02 pounds of crack cocaine, 5.35 pounds of fentanyl, 2.8 pounds of heroin, 1.26 pounds of psilocybin mushrooms, and 36.04 pounds of THC oil. Our 911 addressing system's coming along. We about have, I want to say about 90% of them, of the plaques are out of homes. We've been working with the Dewberry Company out of Anchorage, the geospatial database company that works on mapping with US DOT. We owe these folks a huge debt of gratitude because they did this pro bono for us, because we're initially, they said, like, well, we'll send the money out and, you know, what money do you have? I said, we don't have any. And I sent them a copy of what we were using for our records management system. They said, yeah, we can work with this. And so they helped us out tremendously. And I added a email that Hillary Palmer sent to me with bullet points on it. You guys can go over that and take a look at it. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer. So our drug asset forfeitures have brought current for fiscal year 2022 into present 2023. And I'm waiting to find out if we're applying solutions. That's what I have for January.
Thanks, Dave. Any questions or comments for Dave? Austin?
Just saying, this is our last city council with Dave as police chief. I just wanted to give a round of applause to Dave for his service here and say thank you so much.
Thanks, Dave.
Enjoy retirement.
I don't know if Dave is here, but I concur. Thanks a lot.
Sure. Jack.
Thanks, Jack.
Yep. Thanks, Dave. Okay, if there's no further comments at this time. Thanks, Dave. Okay, we'll go on to the next report, which is EMS. And EMS Director Logan Thompson. Are you on there, Logan? Hi. He was at the workshop. He wasn't sure he'd make it. So his report is in the pack there. You can read. So, okay, we'll go on to the next report. Also, I think Rob isn't here. He was busy making pizzas for the school. But his report is also in the packet. So we go on to the next report, which is good, which is a little quicker. Public Works Director Julius Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, good evening. For the month of January, we standing. Helping intersections, buildings, also not for a walkway, and just want to keep on our shop heaters, our equipment, tire chains, blades, our material cord, that one, and equipment. Flushing, hauling three boats to landfill. Headlights on the ambulance and in between the six box and the freight board.
All right. Thanks, Julius. Any comments or questions for Julius? Arlene?
Boats that you hauled up to landfill, were those boats or were they those fiberglass?
Jordan?
Well, I just wanted to say thank you to the staff who's been working on the roads. The snow doesn't fall 8 to 5, and I know they're out till at least 1 last night when I dozed off, and I heard the telltale beeping reverse signal this morning about 6, give or take, maybe a little bit earlier. So,
they were out
till 9 this morning. Yeah, so it's long hours, and I know, you know, the families, and it's difficult, so it doesn't make a difference because you never know if you got to get to the, you know, medevac middle of the night and through, and thank you.
Can't be
ready to get out.
Also for helping with the fire, the same crew, and for fire chief there, they were on top of that also.
Yeah, hand holding the intersections too is really nice.
That is just sometimes crazy.
Okay, thanks, Julie.
Thank you, Julie.
There's no further comments. We'll move on to the next report, which is the Water and Sewer Supervisor, Dylan Jacobson.
Mr. Mayor, do my monthly report on water samples in order to organize the North Park. I had a teleconference with Julius Jordan and Keith about their upcoming project. Called up some dirty water at the community center. We flushed our hydrant outside and cleared up. Section of the sewer main on the footbridge pulled apart, got that back together. Water leak on the main road that affected water service to a few houses in the area. Operated and cleaned turbidity meters to water plants, cleaned flow meters to water plants. Our results back for lead and copper water samples.
Any questions or comments for Dylan?
Thank you, Dylan. I got my report from my house, and I'm glad we don't have any lead on these like weird stuff. So thank you. It was done, I think, like 15 years ago in my house, so I appreciate it.
Thanks, Amy. Further comment? We'll move on to the next report, which is Harbor Master Alan Kuchinoff. Thanks, Alan. Any comments or questions for Alan?
How are the high tides this time compared to last one?
The last one was higher.
I feel like that maybe the harbor's a little more prepared for it too, just because of the recent one that we had.
Not really. Nothing's changed.
All right. Thanks. Boats and the ramps are all.
The ramps.
And
the ramps. Look like
something to watch for, maybe. Thanks, Adam.
Next
time. Oh. Thanks. Okay. Any comments, questions for Alan? All right. Hearing none, seeing none. Move on to the next. I think the report. So, hearings, ordinances, resolutions. The first is Ordinance 2301, FY23 Budget Amendment, the second reading. I'll hand the floor to Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, Council, before you is the proposed major budget amendment from the city's standpoint for fiscal year 2023. Every year, the city prepares a budget before the July 1 deadline, and so there's sort of two reasons we do this. One is the fiscal year splits the fishing season. So sometimes the fish come early, sometimes they come later. You know, so that's one reason. The second reason is it's always a good idea to look at your spending, adjust upward if needed, you know, adjust downward if possible, or say, well, we're not going to spend X right now, but we know in, say, A, what we buy, say, new tires or something. So it kind of gives us a perspective of what our incomings are and our outgoings are. So, you know, the raw fish tax has not been at rate this year. Part of it is due to less fishing time in the summer, as well as a reduction in processing in the winter fishery locally. So that's a negative aspect of this budget amendment. One upshot is the increase in sales tax. It's the healthiest sales tax at this rate since at least FY12. So that is a positive, but that's not enough to negate the loss in the raw fish tax. So just a couple items I wanted to point out. Budget changes. So the capital gains/loss, that's a permanent fund. So yes, it's losing $20,000, but it's paper lost until that those funds are converted into spendable cash, which is not the idea of the permanent fund. So yes, it's a loss, but the market fluctuates. The interest income is about $40,000. The city has money in the AMLIT, the Alaska Municipal League Insurance Investment Pool. So basically, it's a high yield savings account. So as the prime rate, you know, from the Feds has gone up, the rate of return on that has gone up, similar to like a CD or something, where when the Feds have, you know, basically a 0% policy, your CDs yield almost nothing. But it's, you know, their rates go up. You know, these rates don't go as fast or as high, but it still goes up. And so we keep the bulk of the city's funds that are not in the permanent fund in the AMLIT account. That we'll take funds out as needed to put into the Wells Fargo checking account. The checking accounts are day-to-day, you know, payroll source or paying bills. So that's a positive development, and that's $40,000 we can use, not pledge to the future. As you see, the raw fish tax was adjusted down, but again, we didn't really know what the winter was going to look like. It looks like it's developing in a more positive trend than anticipated, which I'm glad to be wrong. About the donations, the $60,000, that was moved down to the police and EMS miscellaneous revenue. So it's the same amount shifted further down. Revenue of the state of Alaska should not have been there. Equipment rentals down quite a bit, but you know, it varies year to year based on projects. Sometimes contractors or other people need equipment more than others. There's no real, it's up and down. So it's not a negative thing necessarily, but it's often unique. We'd rather have it. So that's general fund revenue. General fund is unrestricted. We can use that money for any council can dedicate that money pretty much whatever they'd like within legal uses. So going on to general fund expenses. We changed council stipend over to salaries for mayor and council. It's an accounting thing, so there's no actual dollar change. It's just where it gets coded to in the accounting software. I believe there's this IRS thing behind it. So that's pretty much standard administration. It's pretty standard, you know, administration salaries. You know, it's every 2 weeks, so those outlays are fairly steady and consistent. You know, the audit and professional services, that was a little bit more than last year, and it's probably going to be more expensive next year. And then our general liability insurance, which covers day-to-day operations, vehicles, structures, some of our heavy equipment, most notably the travel lift, is insured full value. So that's poised to go up 15-20% next year, according to AML, GIA, the insurance pool we belong to. But we'll deal with that as we develop next year's budget. Just want to give you a heads up on that. And then the interest expense towards the bottom, E01-200-000-750 interest expense. That is the bond for the old harbor renovations that took place in 2014. That was, it used to be about $190 per year, but when the city was able to refinance it, reissue the debt, refinance. So we refinanced it as part of a statewide effort to refinance from about 5.5%, give or take, down to about 2%, maybe. So it's a pretty big savings in interest because these annual payments are due through 2038. So it's a pretty significant savings, you know, for the next however many years, 6 years. So that's the creative side. On the police side, we're tracking along. With the AAIT, you see the increase in salaries and benefits. That's funded from EATS. So EATS donated $30,000 for their last fiscal year, which is federal, and an additional $30,000 for their fiscal year, which is currently. So theirs is October 1 to September 30th. And both the salary and the benefits and so everything for the position comes out of the EAT funding. There's no general fund obligations for this position. So worked with Curtis and Sabrina to make those adjustments in payroll and in our bookkeeping. So, where we stand. So that's good. Public Works trending positively, fairly steady with the recent increase in overtime, which is needed for the roads maintenance. We're still on track. In the report that Curtis gave you, the diesel is really high, but that's just because when the fuel is originally purchased, it all goes credited to Public Works. And then at the end of the year, it's, you know, they track where they fill up and who gets what, and then it's allocated towards the end of the year before the year closes out as part of the process to get ready for the audit. So even though it says, you know, 5,000% over budget, that's not an issue. It looks much, 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 much worse than it is. Knocked off a little bit on equipment maintenance. Weren't nearly anywhere that. Next page is buildings. Those are pretty steady. And you know, as mentioned earlier, we're going to get rid of some phone lines, and then with fewer phone lines and less expensive internet, we should be able to lower our utilities, our phone. Phone does include phone and internet, so I guess you could call it telecom. So we'll reduce our telecom expenses, not a tremendous amount, but you know, $2,000 in each department adds up. Statements like that we need to start realizing. Moving forward, our gaming revenue. The city offers both bingo and pull tabs. You know, that's down, and then I put three pages for the printout for the meeting. That shows a reflection off what we discussed earlier about gaming. So it shows roughly a $9,000 profit after expenses this year. But again, that just depends on who plays, what games, and all that. So it is down, but yeah, I think the issue's sorted. Moving forward, the Silver Salmon Work Derby, the city is just an account holder. We don't that money. Past that, fund 06, 06-257, and 06-258, ARPA, and LGLR. Again, that was money, federal money passed through to the state to us. That can only be used for certain governmental purposes. A chunk of that will be allocated to the building rehab, but I didn't put that in because not finalized and we don't have a final schedule yet. So once that does come in, we'll go back and edit it. So when you look through the financial report each month, it'll be reflected in that. Fund 10, the clinic, the city has what's called a 105L lease with IHS and eHealth Services. So IHS takes money, gives it to EAT, directly passes it on to us, nothing off the top. There had been some confusion because he had been under the impression, or IHS had, that the city was receiving both 105L funds as well as what's called DBC or village-based clinic funds, which is a lesser amount, and you can only choose one or the other, and the city chose the higher amount. We know that, and we've got it sorted. We have the documentation that we paid back what we owed. On the up and up. So that's the clinic fund. Now we're on to water, water, wastewater. Water, wastewater is an enterprise fund. This is designed to be either mostly or fully sustained by user fees. So money that's collected for water and sewer goes right back into this fund, be it for equipment, salary, utilities, freight, equipment maintenance. This is moving along. This fund, you know, tends to go more or less steady in both outlay and income. We'll pay, you know, their bills monthly, whereas the general fund is subject to a big influx during salmon season. And then if we get, say, the community revenue sharing, that's, you know, a big payment, fairly not flat, consistent, I guess. That's fund 61. Moving the page, there's a also on your desk is the revised harbor. Revenue is steady in the harbor, but again, the harbor revenue isn't consistent. There's seasonal bursts. Right now, it appears to be a lull. There's a lot more activity in the spring when people pay put back in the water versus being hauled out. And then a lot of people pay their yearly fees in July or August. So that's kind of a real big time for the money to come in. And then that money, we track when the bill, so even if we get paid in July for a service in June, it's credited back towards June. But if somebody pays us early for their stall fee, we just hold the cash and then we just park it for the previous next fiscal year. So there was quite a bit of change. The city did have to invest quite a bit in the east wall repair. It hadn't been much work done on it in quite some time. So it still keeps us cash flow positive for the harbor fund. And we don't anticipate spending anything near as much that next year for supplies. And a lot of that supplies that they increase is what streetlights. The harbor does handle streetlight repair. The contractual, the 110, that was from 10 more houses. Great work he did. And then the repairs and maintenance, that large sum, that was a lot of that was lumber. But, the walls, great shape. I know Al's taking great pains to ensure it stays that way. And then lastly, I want to point out, two more things. So the second to last expense line, E-62-601 revenue bond, that is the revenue bond the city issued for the new travel lift. So that 115 will be there. But the other expenses, when we start forecasting for next year, we can definitely. And then also, sorry, I do want to point out two more things. Back up top in the revenue, the wharfage has dropped. There's less fish being processed, or seafood, being processed in the community, which means less is being shipped out over the docks. So that's a decrease in wharfage. And then Fund 63. Not that the city gifted. So that's just more of an accounting and governmental accounting standards board thing. So I just for clarity's sake, I zeroed it out, but when the audit takes place, there's value assigned and not generating any active revenue that we can be financial thing. And one more fund the city has, again, another enterprise fund at the harbor and water, wastewater, is solid waste. Solid waste revenues are fairly steady. It's a monthly billing thing. Some people pay a little bit more, a little later. So those expenses are trending about as one would expect. And I just wanted to point out that there's final couple lines on the expenses, 65-500-080. That's associated with the recycling center, whereas the 5-500-000 is associated with trash truck operations in the landfill, salary and benefits and all that. So that's where we stand. We have before you slightly different than what was published earlier. Thank you, Marlene, for coming down and noticing some of this. This kind of brings us to the next point. This is not a sustainable budget. This is not a sustainable budget in the long term. Given that, and we know there's challenges ahead. Don't know what's going to happen with Fort Fish. I think ASCO is probably a general outcome we can realistically expect. I don't know, but that's how we go. So looking into next year, I'd really like the chance to sit down with department heads, councils, and some staff to look at you know, where we've been in the past, you know, what have our revenues been historically? What have our expenses been historically? What have been our big ticket items? I'll say to Public Works, all right, well, you know, if you had $1 million, what would your spending priorities be? $50,000, you know, what would your spending priorities be? You know, earlier I printed out for the mayor the raw fish tax and sales tax back to FY 12. Year 12, 1.9 something million just in raw fish tax and sales tax. And that's, we're not going to, hopefully, get closer this year, but we're probably going to get that close to it. So, you know, we just look at what impact will the reduction in winter processing have? What happens with the lack of, you know, summer fishing time? You know, what services does the city prioritize? What level of staffing is appropriate for that situation? So if we can have an evening, you know, maybe a 5 p.m. start at council next month to kind of, you know, staff can do some research and bring some historical numbers back. And I think during that conversation, it'll generate some more questions organically. At the April meeting, you know, staff can bring back answers. And then, you know, have that discussion will form the basis of the FY 24 budget that we introduced at the meeting.
All right. Before we take any questions or comments, do we have a motion to put ordinance 2301 FY 23 budget amendment second reading on the floor?
I'll make a motion to put ordinance 2023-01 on the floor for second reading.
Second. Second by Arlene. Thank you. Now, are there any questions or comments for Jordan? Any other comments? Hearing and seeing none, at this time, do we have a motion to adopt 2301 FY 23 budget amendment?
I'll make a motion to adopt both budget.
Motion? Austin. Second by Arlene. Roll call, please, sit.
Alan?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.
Marisa?
Yes.
right, motion carried. Okay, we'll go on to the next item of business, which is resolution. Okay, yeah, I'm right. Okay. Resolution 2302. Participation in the Alaska Community Transportation Program. I'll hand the floor to Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So before you are two similar but different resolutions, Resolution 2303 and 2304 for participation in the Community Transportation Project, or CTP, and Transportation Alternative Project, TAP. They're administered by Department of Transportation and Fiscal Facilities, commonly known as DOT. So these are competitive grant programs that to address infrastructure, transportation infrastructure within communities. The CTP is more geared towards vehicular activities, and CTP is more geared towards trails and footpaths and the non-motorized transportation. So the funding comes from the federal government, and of course there are strings attached to it. Now, one of the strings attached is that the local or the applicant has to have at least a minimum local match of 9.03% of the total project costs. That's the minimum. However, the endpoint for the purpose of this program was considered remote. So there's urban, rural, and remote. So we're in the remote category, which is good because anything above, you know, 1.01% above the required match is an additional 20 points. Some of the criteria on, you know, some of the scoring criteria we're just never going to meet. You know, one notable one we can't do anything about is you get 20 points if you take a project off DOT's hands for good. Well, the city owns the footbridge and the road bridge, so you just can't score on that. So you got to get points where you can. There's that. So, you know, we're not competing against, you know, Mat-Su or Kenai or Homer or City of North Pole. You know, it's the Onalaskas, the Queeflocks, the Crags, you know, down southeast. So that's, you know, kind of, that's our weight class, so to speak. So, you know, just given that additional 1.01% match would, you know, give us a big boost, I think that's the prudent thing to do. So Monday morning, I did receive these updated scope, schedule, estimate sheets from DOT. DOT's estimate for the footbridge jumped from $250,000 to $350,000. I would note that because this is federal funds, the project does use Davis-Bacon wages, so that's a decent cost driver. But on the plus side, there's pretty much no permitting requirements, which also helps us score better. There's no in-water work, there's no endangered species, or Miller's eiders, or, you know, marine mammals we don't want to disturb. So that definitely cuts down the cost. But just, you know, materials, labor, mob, demob, traffic maintenance, things like that, just drive the cost. Because, you know, DOT is a formula for determining these things. So footbridge up to 350, so left the 10.04% match, just over $35,500. And then the road bridge, vehicle bridge, again, you know, went from $500,000 estimate up to $630,000. You know, they're saying things like $26,000 flagging. But again, it's the state, you know, it's federal money being administered by the state. Those are the rules they follow. So, you know, a 10.04% match would be roughly $64,000. And again, you can see, you know, how they break down their estimates, you know, their perspective on permitting. Again, I think that's a strong point with our projects is there's no permitting. It's already there. And then, I don't know if you were here for this earlier. So the bridge is actually, so the 1972 plaque, a little bit of trivia, I thought, you know, please. is that the state has a bridge inventory, and that's the bridge number, not the construction date number, which makes a lot more sense now. So as part of the process, the applicant, in this case the city, has to pledge at least that 9.03% match and through a resolution. So that shows both community support, this is a public meeting, people have the chance to comment. The city also has the CIP list that was approved, let's say last month, maybe December, that has these two projects in the top five, in the community five projects. So there's a demonstrated history of community support for these two projects, both long term, back prior, and then right now. That those are both necessary to have. So the resolution is necessary to have, but also having that previously approved CIP is more important. So that's the two resolutions before you. And I did just want to point out an error that was brought to my attention. So on the last whereas, both on the CTP one and the SCP one, that should be 9.0.
10.
The last whereas should be 9.03, and the now therefore further resolved should be 10.04. And yep, so those are the two resolutions before you. All right, thanks, Jordan. Any comments?
So, the 20 grand for flagging, is that a guaranteed expense?
Okay. I mean, that's what they estimate the cost. So the initial estimate they gave us was, real quick back of the envelope. This is a much more, they've drilled down quite a bit, but not.
Could it be local hires, or they bring employees?
It depends on the contractor. I can't say. Contractors are out there to save money. They can hire somebody locally, not to pay per diem and keep that in their pocket. I don't think they would.
Thanks, Dawson. Any other questions? All right, hearing none, I'll go back to, do we have a motion to adopt 2302, participation in the Alaska Community Transportation Program? Motion by Arlene. We have a second. Arlene. Roll call, please, Jay.
Austin?
Yes.
Marisa?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
All right. Motion carried. All right. We're going to the next item is resolution 2303, participation in the Alaska Transportation Alternative Program. And I'm floor to George. Well, that's the same.
Yeah, I talked about that.
So it was included. So do we have a motion to adopt resolution 2303, participation in the Alaska Transportation Alternative Program?
I'll make that motion.
Motion by Austin. Second. By Amy. Roll call, please, Jake.
Jack?
Yes.
Arlene?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
Marisa?
Yes.
All right, motion carried. We'll move on to the next. It's resolution 2304, supporting current South Alaska Pacific Management Plan. Anyway,
yeah, the language of the resolution is correct.
Okay.
So it's all good. Okay, do we have a motion to adopt resolution 2304 supporting the current South Alaska?
I'll make motion to adopt resolution 2304 supporting the current
of the Alaska Peninsula Salmon Management Plan and opposing certain proposals before the Board of Fish.
All right, thanks, Sally. Do we have a second? Amy? Question on this? Roll call, please.
Marisa?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Austin?
Yes.
Amy?
Yes.
Marlene?
Yes.
Alan?
Yes.
All right, motion carried. We'll go on to the next item, which is full business, and I see there is none. So without new business, which the first item is Harbor Electric SPCE. And the floor to Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this is sort of a two-pronged memo, two subjects. The first is Harbor Electric Billing. When the harbor was renovated about 2014, the city took over individual slip billing from the TDX. There's several meters down the harbor. There's one for A and T float, a meter for B and C, and then each structure, the harbor house, crane, gear sheds, one or two others have their own electric meters. So that's the current setup, and then the city charges, I believe, $7 per month for electric fee, and then the city charges at cost what TX bills the city. So if it works out 23 cents a kilowatt hour, that's the charge the city gives to the slip owners for electricity they use when they're plugged in. So pretty much from September through August through March, April, give or take. The harbor floats are the two biggest consumers of electricity in the city. Third place goes to the water pumps and treatment plant. So the city receives a certain amount of PCE based on state estimated population each year. The higher your population, the more PCE credits you get towards community facilities. Community facilities is pretty broad, so that includes, you know, city hall, street lights, shop, you know, lift stations, you know, structures like that. So historically, the harbor in wintertime has pushed the city just about to the cap of PCE credits. Sometimes it's gone a little bit over, but it's been such a nominal increase that once the city goes over the cap, the city pays full freight, like similar to when you're at your home. If you go over 750 kilowatt hours, you pay the full freight. So we pay the full industrial rate, which is a little bit lower than residential. So in the past, if it has gone over, it's only been usually December or January, sometimes both, but not by much. So the blended rate of the non-subsidized PCE, the full freight PCE, full freight electricity, plus the PCE subsidized electricity, you may go from a 22-cent rate to a 24-cent rate or 25-cent rate. So it's been a nominal increase during the winter, which is the heaviest usage in the harbor for electricity. And it's a fairly consistent arc. So, you know, there's variations, you know, might be a little bit lower one year, a little bit higher, but consistently you can tell it's, you know, bell-shaped pretty much. So the state has lowered our population estimates effective July 1 of this year, excuse me, the fiscal year, so July 1, 2022. So the state informs TDX that because the state's population estimate had declined, that TDX now can provide and does provide.
Yeah, oh.
Yeah, Jack.
That was quick. Thank you.
Okay. Got disconnected from.
So now TDS by law only has to offer us. We went from 61,000 plus kilowatt hour credits to 45,360, so, you know, about 25% decrease. So, but that was not reflected in the bills for July.
August, September, and October. We took the staff in good faith. Bills figured out what the bill said per kilowatt hour. You know, all those charges and fees and all that. So, they just figured out, and bills were sent to people who were using the harbor for electricity, slip owners and transients. It turns out that TDS's internal software controls or billing system, did not register the decrease correctly. They were billing us as if the city was still subject to the 61,000 cap, whereas the reality is the 45,000 cap. So in that 4-month period, the city underpaid TDX was incorrectly billed in the city's favor about $20,000. So that means the city, in turn, underbilled harbor users with electricity about $20,000. Yeah, there's line loss, but we'll ignore line loss for the sake of discussion. So $20,000 underbilling. So the city, when it was under the impression the bills were correct and the usage didn't seem out of order within historical usage norms. Bills went out, like they always had, it was, X cents per kilowatt hour. So we need to go back and rebuild correctly to get that $20,000. It's a lot of money. If it was $50, but it's $20,000. So I kind of made a spreadsheet. Well, I did make a spreadsheet just kind of showing the impact of cap and the blended PCE rates. So you can see how going over the cap, what impact that has. I also managed not to spell eligible correctly. So moving forward, the city will run out of PCE space, PCE credits in the wintertime. Well, fall, winter, and probably most of spring, it depends on factors, but PCE credits. So once the PCE credits, the limits hit, TDX is billing us full bore. We in turn have to fire our code, figure out to bill harbor users that rate. Because there won't be much PCE credit to offset a lot of that full freight rate, the rates will increase significantly. Again, the city is not profiting if this is us giving a service at cost, plus $7 more. So that brings up, I think, three main issues. One is, again, the city wants to go back, recalculate, and rebuild for the underbilled months, 4 months, about 20,000 total across all users. Second is population and PCE. We just got the letter about our population estimate change in mid-January. Due to the city size, which is likely under 1,000 people all in, the only way to do a census is a door-to-door headcount with names and ages. There's a booklet state puts out through DCRA explaining the process and the regulations and who counts as full-time, who's not a full-time, especially with group quarters, the bunkhouses. And the city would have to do that, pass a resolution or at the March meeting, and then submit all that paperwork by April 1. I don't believe that's something we can pull off in that short time, especially a lot of people aren't here right now. Just fish, there's vacations, more people are out in the water. It may be prudent to put the paperwork and procedures in place so next January 1, a lot of that groundwork to do the headcount is established already or are aware. There can be mailers or something. We can put the notices in our invoices for the harbor. The third is, review harbor electric billing methods. So, right now, we bill at cost to each user. I don't think all the meters are accurate. The individual float meters, I would suspect the main meter for A and C float and B and C float is consistent, but often accurate. So, let's make sure, get an electrician, make sure that the main meters are accurate, and then go to make sure each pedestal is working correctly and billing correctly so nobody's inadvertently, underpaying or overpaying, because we're tracking what our line loss is, And then, you know, there's some for the cameras and the, you know, LED overhead lights, but it's not that much. Those lights are, you know, fairly efficient. So there's that, and then there's another option which didn't kind of got some lukewarm reaction, is to kind of move to a length-based electric, monthly electric fee. So if your boat is, you know, 58 foot, you pay, I'm just making a number up here, extra $10 a month. That isn't going to cover it, but that's just, you know, if your boat's 32 footer, then you pay, you know, $450 or something, a proportion less. And that kind of got a lukewarm reaction, but that's, you know, that's one option. Another option was to move to, you know, apply all the PCE to the harbor and then raise rates elsewhere to cover it. So all the PCE credits go to the harbor and then use the rest throughout the community. And let's say the water plant was the main driver to push the city over the cap, then rates will be adjusted accordingly, and that got a pretty resounding thumbs down, seemed like. So we'll go back and rebuild if there's a population question, and then you know, just making sure that our readings are accurate. It's not something, we're not trying to make money, we're not trying to lose money. It's a service that provides at cost. So that's where we stand on that. Bills are going to be high through at least February. That's a function of, you know, less PCE, and then the rates without PCE just being higher than they have been. So that is where we stand on that.
All right. Thanks, Jordan, for that description of the PCE. Definitely. They don't make that mistake again. But
So just to go off that, it was asked earlier. You know, so we'll go back and find historic usage rates, so we can check, make sure the usage is, you know, within historic norms, and then we can go back and look at old billing rates. And I know the rates are going to be different inherently, but just, you know, if we get a bill for, I'm making a number up here, $50,000, well, we know historically it's been $25,000, usage is about the same, you know, what's going on. Check both usage and price, just to make sure there's no more surprises. Although, frankly, in July and August, I don't think we would have noticed either way. Really went over the cap in those 2 months. But again, November, December, we definitely know this.
When you and Curtis were looking into this, I think maybe Bridget, but you guys did find mistakes from PDX at that time, did you not?
Yes, and they since reprinted and reissued the correct invoices for
large mistakes.
July, August, September, October.
Yeah, they had been making mistakes besides not charging that. I remember that. I didn't.
And I do want to thank Bridget for her brass.
Our company did a whole of us. So. All right, thanks, Jordan. Any comments or questions?
Mr. Mayor, I have a comment.
Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, I think Jordan, you know, kind of phrase that as if we willingly took over billing the power. It was something that TDX, you know, just kind of dumped on us and forced us to take on this role of billing the power. And when we did it at the time, we tried to be, you know, we absolutely did not want to make profit on the power. We were just trying to keep the, you know, keep it exactly at the level we were being charged, and then passing that cost on to the fishermen. So, you know, everyone should know that you know we weren't trying to make profit here on the power. We're just trying to do the legwork that TDX refused to do, and now here we are. You know, with having TDX having made a mistake, we're going to have to go back, you know, and do all the legwork. You know, to charge this out correctly. And I guess I just want to point that out, that this isn't the city of Sandpoint trying to profit on power. This is just us trying to continue to provide power on the docks for the boats so they can they can plug into it. That's all.
All right. Thanks, Alan. Any other comments?
Yeah, Jim, it's Jack here.
Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, I just, you know, I don't think it's right to charge everybody across the board fees. I mean, I keep a cold boat in the winter. I just maintain my batteries. Guys with the heaters on the boat, their boats are, you know, using a heck of a lot more energy than I am, and I think I'm not the only guy down on that big boat float that keeps a cold boat. So, I mean, that's just something to think about. I mean, I don't know how you're ever going to balance that out, but that doesn't seem quite right.
Does it go according to kilowatt?
Yeah, so right now, and ever since the city took over unwillingly from TDS, we've always charged if you use 100 kilowatts, that's what you're charged. The flat fee was just an idea. I mean, any change in fee structure has to go before council because our fees are set in code. So that was just an idea. Judging by the reaction, it will remain that. Because as Jack points out, if you just keep your boat cold and then your neighbor's cranking it up to 90 and throwing hydroponic tomatoes or something, then it's not right.
Right. All right. Thanks, Jack. Thanks, Jordan. Any further comments? All right. Hearing none, I guess we'll move on to the next item, which is number 4, FY24 Aleutians East Borough Community Budget Request. And again, I'll go back to Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So as part of the Aleutian East Borough's annual budget process, they solicit requests from communities across the borough to apply for submit funding requests for capital projects. Historically, that number, the dollar figure they have provided, has been about $100,000. That's kind of been the upper ceiling. So in the past, the city's used that for, they covered about 80%, 75% of the new ERV, telehandler, or GEL. The city's used it for, 1 year it was used to put towards the travel lift. So they want to see tangible outcomes on this. It's not for paying for your insurance, your liability insurance, or new computers, or swapping LEDs or whatever. They want to see fridges, docks, infrastructure. They want to see infrastructure, tangible physical items. So last year the city applied with the other, or made a request last year, I should say, with other communities across the borough for the culverts. That was not funded. I think that's the city, the borough, looking at their budget, they were forecasting a pretty hefty deficit, and they opted not to fund any requests last year. So it's not a guarantee. So this year, it's a similar form. We've done it in the past. I've recommended that we request about $100,000 to be used as a match for an incinerator. And if by chance we're able to procure one without needing that match, to turn around and say, we'd like to use this, hopefully, for CTP and TAP. The two bridge applications, which would just about cover it. So I think they would be flexible if we needed to change it for, a valid use, valid infrastructure use. I don't see them having an issue. We did reallocate the GEL funds to go all towards the GEL, so it's been changed in the past. So this is due March 15th, which is the day after our next meeting. You can see it's a pretty straightforward short form, project title, funding plan, description, timeline, maintenance, that'd be us, of course, documentation. We have documentation, the contact info, pretty straightforward. I don't know how they're going to develop their budget this year, or don't know what it's going to look like. That's to be determined. It's up to them. We currently offer our thoughts. But so this is not a guarantee as we saw last year. So without really getting a sense of where, you know, the borough stands, I think part of it's going to be, you know, post, you know, Board of Fish, kind of provide some clarity moving forward. We won't know, but, you know, it's a pretty quick, you know, afternoon of work just to get everything together, get the photo, we have photographs, we have the supporting documentation. So with council's, you know, approval, that's what I will advance to the borough for the consideration. And I think we'd probably get a good idea on their timeline. We'd probably know, I would imagine if it's included in their, in the first budget, in the budget introduction in May, then I would imagine it would be funded, probably. Then we would know for certain when they adopt and pass their budget, which would be late May or early June, just depending upon when they schedule their second reading and adoption. So we would know before our final budget adoption. More than likely.
Thanks, Jordan. Do we need a motion for this, or are we just going to have direction to hold the thing?
Direction from council.
If you nod, so I guess we'll move forward with that. All right, thank you. And then we'll move on to the next item, which is 5 GCI building permit application. And then I'll hand the floor back to Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So we received a development permit for the AU Evolution project through Unicom, a subsidiary of GCI. We're all aware of the fiber optic project that GCI has undertaken in this part of the state, running fiber from Kodiak Island down to Unalaska and connecting into several communities, but not all, on the Pacific side of the peninsula. As part of their project, I'm sure it's probably a grant funding requirement, they are going door to door and taking, so there's the fiber trunk that's the main cable, the offshoot that runs from the cable onto here up to the earth station, and from there they want to branch it underground, so laying conduit in public right-of-ways, so along the side of the road, you know, near power, water, sewer, all the good stuff, and some telephone too. Mostly underground in the community. There would be an above ground stretch from about the culverts or maybe the harbor access road all the way down to Peter Pan properties. They would string it along the lines, cheaper, faster, everybody wins. There would be underground back towards the airport, the Peter Pan and airport property. You know, we saw there was some consternation about how they conducted their activities. The old crew, who's different than the new crew, how they conducted themselves and their cleanup efforts, remediation efforts, what you're the term we want to use here, aftermath, I guess is their term. Last time when they just went from the water to the earth station, so, you know, they did make cuts in utilities. Part of that is just because of the older piecemeal development of our community, so basically from the intersection, the 408 intersection down, other than St. Johnson Avenue, it grew organically. Whereas, you know, the upper loop was planned and platted and there's right of ways, there's a lot more documentation. So we know there's going to be cuts. That's just how, you know, if there's already cuts when they're just doing the basic stuff, so now there's going to be more utility cuts. We understand it's going to happen because, again, we don't have complete documentation or maps. Especially in the really old, the oldest parts of town, the lot lines don't always correspond to driveways. So, you know, the questions that come up is, you know, what's an acceptable loss, so to speak, of staff time? Because we know there's going to be cuts. Not a criticism, it's just a fact. So it's, you know, how much time for both Julius, or for Public Works and Water Sewer, we want to say, all right, well, we can put, you know, X hours per week of staff time to be with you. You know, they have other things to do. They can't just sit in a truck all day and just watch people dig. And they have
equipment fixed. They have, you know, supplier samples to take. They have an outside life. So it's, you know, how much time will we say, okay, this is acceptable use, and then above that, we're going to bill you X for equipment, X for manpower hours. And then the second question is, when you're done trenching, are you going to put grass somewhere? Are you going to make sure people's driveways are about the condition you found them in? Which, yeah, I think is, a reasonable request. We're not asking for, golf course level sod to go all over the cuts, but, if you big boulder comes up, don't just throw it in the pathway or throw it in someone's yard. Just think about that. We're looking forward to it, but we know there's going to be some challenges. And it seems like we're not quite ready to issue it. I mean, it seems like council is in favor of the development, but wants some stipulations just to make sure that, both parties have gone into it, an understanding of roles and responsibilities. So if it's, I can go back to the applicant, Unicom, and say, council has reservations, but generally it's in favor of the project, and kind of lay out, those expectations and be able to bring it back. Because Dawson, you probably know a little bit more, but well, first seems to be about their anticipated start.
Yeah. And, I know they put a lot down to get this ready for that time. And then, the school is transitioning its internet July 1 to UCI with anticipation of the fiber being laid. So I would say, we want to make sure that we have provisions in there to protect our resources, but I don't think we can table it terribly long.
Right, and I think it could be, ready for the next meeting. I mean, I don't want to put words in council's mouth, but, with the stipulations, I don't foresee, an issue next month.
Make sure to ask them how this will, what kind of timelines would impact their development for this project.
Okay.
Ask some information touch about that.
Right. And I think they're going to start in the kind of where the first station is and go kind of branch out, what more the group go towards the loop as they're kind of work downhill. Ask about that. And they will run it across. So they weren't going to run it across the Harper Bridge, either bridge, but now they will. That was part of the meeting we had with Julius. So that harbor will be covered.
I have an idea. Call Dutch Harbor and see what kind of, agreement. Kind of get an idea.
Yeah.
Then we're kind of, because it sounds like they
were a skinny thing.
Yeah. Down to there.
Okay. Further comments? So, as in the workshop, we agreed to table this until the next meeting.
Yeah.
All right. If there's no further comments, then we'll table that. Back up on the next meeting. So, I think that concludes business. All right, at this time, is there any public comment? But hearing none, any council comment?
So that March 13th budget meeting, that's the Monday before our council room talked about. Can we start that at 4 and instead of later in the day? At 4 o'clock, time 7 or 6, so that's supposed to be my suggestion, earlier versus later.
Any other? That going to interrupt anybody's work? 4? One suggestion, 6, so. There's better. Get it done. Get it
happen.
Sure. I'll come to the meeting. No, that was good pizza earlier. Okay, so we'll set that for 4 then. That would be okay with everyone? March 13th, 4 p.m. for a budget workshop. That would be okay, Alan and Jack?
That'd be fine with me.
Okay.
I believe so.
Okay. That'll be the day before the regular meeting. So, okay. That will be when we have that. Thanks. Any other council comments?
Yeah, I want to say to Jordan, thanks for bringing all the infrastructure grants and everything to this meeting. I can see you did a lot of good work and appreciate that.
Austin? Another comment?
Work on Saturday to get us stuff, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So I do.
Yeah.
I know you. That's not anything you can control, but you.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm telling you.
Maybe. Thanks, Jade. Any other comments at this time? Okay. Hearing done. I guess that concludes our meeting. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Make a motion to adjourn.
A motion by Austin and